In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, today we heard the famous parable of the Good Shepherd, taken from the Gospel of St. John. In it, he shows us that Jesus is the sole shepherd of his people. There is no other shepherd than the true shepherd. And this is why they know him and follow him if he calls. There are other sheep, not of this fold, and presently they do not know him and do not follow him. But those who recognize his voice, he leads to rich pasture. Jesus is the true shepherd. He doesn't climb over the fence to get to the sheep. He uses no tricks, no illusions. His purpose in getting to the sheepfold is not to steal or to slaughter like the thief or the robber. Rather, he enters by the proper gate, the gate of his own body, the gate which tells us, which he tells us, is himself. Now, how can he recognize his sheep? Well, they all have an instinctive sense for who the true shepherd is. Jesus says they will not follow a stranger because they do not know a stranger's voice. Those who are of his fold develop a certain sensitivity, a sensitivity that's acquired from the unique tone of God's voice, of God's word. They recognize its pitch, its song, its melody, its cadence. And they recognize the word of God when they hear it because they know the sound of Jesus' own voice, who is the word of God. This word sounds different completely from the clanging of purely human worldviews, of false religions, of harmful ideologies. Now, when our blessed Lord speaks and makes the claim, "I am the way, no one comes to the Father except through me," there is a tone that's unique because it's a claim that is unique. All other ways, all other means of salvation, all other doors are false and they lead to a dead end, really a dead end. To the world, to those who refuse to hear the call of the Word of God, the call of the Word, who is Jesus Christ himself, those who refuse to recognize the voice of the Savior, this claim sounds like intolerance. And it is, because it's the divine intolerance for all paths invented by men, which no matter how well-meaning, do not lead to the eternally satisfying pasture, to the Father's house. In an age in which tolerance is proclaimed as a supreme virtue, but which often masks a denial of the truth, we must in fact be tolerant, but tolerant with the tolerance of God. In other words, we're called to be understanding and merciful because we cannot see into other people's hearts, because we aren't the shepherd. But we have to stop at mere tolerance. This is where the world stops. This is where worldlings are taught to stop, at mindless tolerance, tolerance without reflecting, without thinking. We're urged by the world and even many in the church to look at many paths or the many paths available, other religions, other denominations, with an open mind, and choose one of them, knowing that in the end, they're all the same. They all end up in the same good place. Wrong. Instead, what we should do is use our brains and our spiritual instinct and listen for the genuine sound of the divine call. We should beg for this, and we should help others to beg for this, to beg God for this ability, the ability to hear His voice through His divine word. But instead, many today become irritated at the absoluteness of Jesus' I am claims. What does He say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection, I am the good shepherd, I am the gate. For many, this is too black and white. This has irritated the world ever since Christ uttered these words. Because the world contrasts the supposed arrogance of these words with its own doctrine of many paths, many ways to be saved, to salvation, and thereby many truths. But we know that truth is not divisible, just as God is not divisible. This is shown in the Christian understanding of truth when the truth is seen as absolute, as God is absolute, as His love is absolute. The Good Shepherd will give His life for His sheep. There's no higher nor even comparable truth. And St. Peter puts it in his epistle, hearkening back to the prophet Isaiah, by His wounds we are healed. The word of the cross is linked to the word of the shepherd, the word who is the shepherd. And meekly, He endured all manner of humiliation. He bore our own sins in His own body on the cross. He did not rise up in anger against the suffering and sin of the world that was imposed upon Him. He submitted in obedience even unto death. He left everything for His Father to judge. He has healed us. He has given us that instinct to follow His example and to hear the genuine call of God. He speaks to us from the cross, and He says, look, this is how much I have loved you. This is what truth is. This is God. This is the love of God. This is the meaning for which you seek. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who wish to be saved, it is the power of God. There, in the words of the cross, do we hear the voice of the shepherd. And in that word, we who are lost at the possibility of being found, as St. Peter says in the epistle, at one time you were straying like lost sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. This call, which is certain and unmistakable, is heard so clearly in St. Peter's post-Pentecost sermon, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. He says, let the whole house of Israel know beyond any doubt that God made both Lord and Messiah this Jesus whom you crucified. There are the words of the gospel, the words of the shepherd, the word of the cross. They are certain and unmistakable, the words that judge a people, a generation, a world, and no, not merely the Jews to whom St. Peter is speaking here. These words unmistakably and certainly judge this, our own time, our world, and this society which flees any sense of responsibility for the horrible mess in which it finds itself. These words are directed forever at those who pretend that the violence of terrorism that surrounds us, abortion, euthanasia on demand, an epidemic of drugs and pornography, a perversion and mental illness, that all of this has nothing to do with the cry of God from the cross, the cry that is the cry of sin and death, and the cry. This cry is at the same time the song of the love of God, because God in the person of Jesus Christ gave himself in order to save us from sin and death. St. Peter, who as the first pope, challenges the Jews of his time to recognize the risen Jesus as the Messiah. And it's the church today, carried and guided by the Holy Ghost, that must, in the words of the Acts of the Apostles, must cut to the heart. Cut through the psychobabble and the rationalizations and flat-out lies that make the voice of our blessed Lord so difficult to hear. It's the job of the church not to comfort the world, not to coddle the world, a world that wallows in the delusions of its own sentimental arrogance. It's the job of the church, and that includes the hierarchy, to raise us up to God, to bring the world to the point where it will ask, what are we to do? This is the place to where the world must be brought. It must see in the church the form of Christ, the image of Christ. It must hear in the preaching of the church, experience in the worship of the church, the answer to the question that is the truth, while affirming the church's mission to the poor and dispossessed, certainly. The job of the church is not to ask the world, what should we do for you or what can we do for you? The job of the church is the salvation of souls. The job of the church is to bring the world to that point, that crucial point where it asks, what must I do to get to heaven? What must we do to turn this around, to stop the moral relativism, to stop the moral perversion, the violence, to make sense of our lives, not to die without a reason for living, not to die the death of eternal nothingness? My friends, there is only one way to do this, to do what St. Peter did, to do what all priests must do, from priests to bishops to the Pope himself, the successor of Peter, to preach Jesus Christ crucified as the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to what every human being, no matter how dark his soul has become, longs for: redemption and eternal life. Always remembering, though, mercy, yes, but there is no true mercy without the sharp sting of the truth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.